John Durrell, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born in Broughton, Manchester.
Which year was this?
Pardon?
Which year was this?
1921.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Broughton?
Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
So that must be 1935.
Yes.
Did you get a job?
Yes. Almost immediately.
Doing what?
it was an engineering firm, and I was in the office. clerking mainly.
Were you doing that when war was declared?
No.
What were you doing then?
I was in the building trade then.
Had you joined the TA before the war?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes.
Can you describe how you heard it?
On the wireless, yes, on the wireless.
With your family?
Yes, yes.
How did you feel about that?
At that age, you didn't feel much, it was just something else. It wasn't, will I have to go, or won't I have to go, or anything like that. Just part of life, you accept.
Did you feel a sense of dismay?
No. At that age, I think all we thought about was football and cricket and snooker, etc. We didn't have any thoughts of going away from our own country and anything like that. The majority of us, anyway, didn't. We just went and...
Were you in any early bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
Yes. The time.
Can you tell me about it, please?
Well, it was 22nd and the 23rd of December, 1940, Manchester, and it was quite fearful. You know, you heard the bombs come whistling down, and you knew that you had to duck because you'd seen films, cinema films. Of bombing raids on different places and people being killed off. That was frightening.
Was that your first attack by the German Air Force on the 22nd of December?
I think there was a small attack earlier that year, I couldn't just say when, it was only a small sort of an attack.
And what was your address in December 1940?
11 Castleton Street, Broughton, Manchester.
Did any bombs fall near you?
No.
Did any bombs hit Broughton?
I don't think so.
How far?
Well, then, I'm getting a little bit confused now. When the war started, that's where I was living, wasn't it? In Broughton. Between then and the bombing in December, we had moved to Hardwick, Manchester, and there were bombs dropped around that area.
What was your address in Hardwick?
I can't remember the number of the house.
Do you remember the street?
It was Hyde Road, like the one in Paignton, H-Y-D-E, Hyde.
So where did you take shelter during that raid?
in a service shelter.
What's a service shelter?
A brick built surface.
Not surface?
Surface, yeah. The first, the first night was Sunday night, and my cousin and myself and two girls had gone to the theatre to watch whether it was High Roy or one of the others, I cannot remember that. And the raid started while we were in the theatre, you could hear the noises around. And then we came out of the theatre probably about 9 o'clock, a couple of hours after it started. It's quite chaotic. There were incendiary bombs falling and the tram wires, we always call them, bloody trams, were hanging loose and shorting. There were sparks flying all over the place. And as again, it was, let's get away from it, you know, it's moved to somewhere quieter. I don't mean move, talking about run away from where all this thing was happening. And so that was in Ireland. Mm.
What were these brick-built surface shelters like inside?
Well, they varied in size. I would say the average one was probably as long as this room and about this width, about this depth.
This is quite a big room.
Yeah, but this is about the size, yeah.
So you could
get... They were built in the streets where when we went in, it was a street with a dead end. So obviously you could stick it anywhere at the top of the street. And yeah, they were brick and concrete roofs, probably about that thickness of concrete on the top.
About 8 inches.
Something like that. It wouldn't stop a bomb, but it would stop shrapnel, etc.
And you could get a lot of people inside.
Well, I couldn't say how many were admitted into this, probably fill it up as much as they could to get people off out of the way of shrapnel. There was also anti-aircraft shrapnel falling down when the shells had burst up in the air, and bits of shrapnel falling all over the place, so it was a case of get out of the way. Mm.
Was the shelter you used packed out?
I don't see. No. I don't recall anybody complaining about it.
Were there any facilities inside, or was it?
I don't think so. Not sure. You mean toilet, etc.? I don't think so.
Any seats?
Well, we were concerned really whether there was or not, because at that age, 18, 19, we weren't bothered about a cup of tea or anything like that. Older people and young children probably took it worse than we did.
But do you remember if there was anywhere to sit down?
Probably there were seats along the walls, little bench seats. We didn't, there they go. As a matter of fact, I think my cousin and myself, we stood in the doorway, more or less looking out. It was,
Were the people inside shaken? Were they crying or anything like that?
I wouldn't say anybody was crying, you know, panicking, but we probably were frightened. You know, when you hear these things going off, and they aren't very far away.
Was your house hit?
No.
Was this the only German air raid that you can remember?
Well, it was the two nights, 22nd and 23rd. Oh, no, there was another one, quite big, in May 1941. But that was mainly Salford area. And a large industrial area, Trafford Park.
Did you go down to Salford in May?
No.
How much damage was done to the centre of Manchester in these raids?
Quite bad. It was almost as though it was pinpointed. The bombing, I would say, was pretty accurate with regards to buildings as against houses, etc. Obviously, a lot of houses were bombed, people were killed, but anywhere within the target area, you could say half a mile. You know, quite a few warehouses were bombed and burnt out in the centre of Manchester. And I would say it was quite accurate bombing regarding missing out on actual homes.
How did public morale stand up to the bombing, do you think?
Again, it's a bit distant, but I do recall that the following morning we were working about 3 miles away from the firm I worked for. And people were getting to work the best way they could. Lifts on the backs of lorries and so on. Obviously, families who lost someone during those 2 nights, their morale would be quite low. And it was right on Christmas time as well. But regards the majority, I think they just carried on once the raid had finished. Just carry on.
What did people feel towards the German pilots who were carrying out the bombing?
I never heard anything good or bad about them. Possibly because they had a job to do. End of story. I couldn't say it. Against Hitler and all his cronies, etc., they probably had a lot to say about those people. But with regards to the air crews of the German bombers, I can't say I ever heard anything against them.
What did you think to the work of the emergency services in the bombing?
Personally, I never needed them, but I would say that without them, there would have been panic. Firemen, police, air raid wardens, doctors and nurses, the whole of the emergency services. And they just carried on right through it. They weren't hiding in shelter like we were.
Now, when were you called up into the army?
June 1942.
Do you remember getting the call up?
Yes, because my papers came on my 21st birthday.
Was your call up deferred?
When I was 18, I wanted to get in the Air Force, in air crew. And what's the name of this? There was a street in Manchester, all the buildings were taken over by ministry, war ministry. And that's where you went if you were called up in the first place to go for a medical, or if you wanted to volunteer, and I did, you went there anyway.
Why did you want...
I've forgotten what did you ask me in the first place.
Well, we were talking about your call-up, but why did you want to why did you want to go into RAF Aircrew?
Probably it was more probably because it was more glamorous at that age. And I went into Manchester to join up. All the details, I get out, so on and so on. And okay, you'll hear from us. Well, I did hear from them, and that was to go to Padgate near Warrington, where there was a big American base by then. And I put myself down for a wireless operator. And I was called to Warrington, and it was a 3-day course. Not medical, just a...
You're saying it was just educational?
Yes. And after the 3 days, I went to this office, and there were civilians, these people. And the message just came back to me across the desk. You shouldn't have been here. You're in a reserved occupation, building trade at that time. It was all reserved until 1821. In the days when you served a 7-year apprenticeship. And so with that, I just threw the towel in and said, well, blow it. If they don't want me, they don't want me. It was as simple as that, more or less in those words.
What was your job in the building trade?
It was plumbing. But mainly, during that time, we were involved in building aerodromes, etc., etc., all around your part of the world, Lincolnshire and all around there. You lived away from home, obviously.
What was the money like during the war in the building trade? Did it improve?
Couldn't really say. Before the war, the average tradesman's rate or engineers, which my father was an engineer, I always remember it was £3 something a week for a tradesman. And that's over the age of 21 and learning a trade. As far as our building trade went, I couldn't really say.
Would it be more than that?
Probably about the same.
How did you feel about being called up in June 1942?
Well, I went over to into Manchester, where these what do you call it? Enlistment offices.
Recruitment.
Yeah. So I rolled in, and put all my cards on the table and said, I've volunteered for the Air Force, what's happening? You've been claimed by the Royal Engineers with being in the building today. I could only suggest that was the reason. And well, I wasn't in the services then, so I didn't have to go on my hands and knees. I just said, oh, sir, three bags full, sir. You just say what you've got to say, and that's the end of the story. Well, what came back was, we'll see what we can do for you. But nothing was done. And I went straight into the army.
Where did you do the basic training?
At Blake and Chester. Royal Engineers training depot.
What was the basic training like?
First, it was a 3 months training. The first few weeks was drills, right, automatic weapons, rifles, and then the last few weeks was actual images of war sort of thing. You know, we were fighting them over there. And
how were you treated on the basic training?
Well, quite hard. You see films of the Marines and all this kind of thing. We did have big route marches and overnight what they call bivouacking. They have a little tent that, for one, you know. And there was no playing around. It was quite stiff, you know.
Were you treated fairly?
I would say yes. With one little occasion, it's always humorous before or after. And this was, we were on the square, what we call the square, the parade ground. And it was an arms drill. Slope arms, order arms, all this kind of thing. And this particular one was, it's only because you aren't concentrating that you miss out on these things. This particular one was present arms. And salute, or eyes left, or eyes right, or whatever. And company, eyes right, salute. They've got my rifle up here, and I went like that. Which is wrong.
What should you have done?
Tapped it across the head on the rifle, as I remember, anyway. So he was a sergeant. When I first joined up, these were his very words. Before you've finished, you're calling me Sergeant Bastard. And those were his words. And it was. He had to be. Because otherwise, you've got a lot of these hardheads who were trying to run the show. Well, he didn't ever run the show with a physical training instructor or anything like that. And what I had to do after that little incident was run round the square, which was probably a bit of a football pitch, at the slope, and everybody's looking at you. Now, this wasn't a sergeant, this was a corporal who was doing this particular drill. And as I went down one far side of the square, an officer pulled me up. He said, what's this for? I said, I saluted wrongly, sir. told him what had gone wrong, and go back to the squad. So I went back to the squad, and the corporal got a going over. Because it was a, it was a nothing mistake really, but he was, again, probably making sure that you did things the right way, not your own way. As I say, there were lots of humorous incidents.
Such as?
Such as, this was it was war finished and lots of units were broken up because they weren't required. The units I was with was broken up and we were coming back home to go elsewhere. And it was a little town in Belgium that the military had taken over. And, not a little town, this was a big hotel that had been taken over by the military. 4 or 5 floors. And the little bunk beds in the small room sort of thing. We were on the top floor. So, we were hard up for services, etc., etc., in this country. I'm talking about civil life now. But there, over in Belgium and Holland, they were back to the dark days. You know, this particular incident, we have to keep our minds ticking over all the time. And this particular incident happened when a call out came over the tannoy system. Everybody go over to this hotel, and somebody else, such a body one, was going to give us a talk. This particular talk was about when the hood was blown to bits up in the North Atlantic. I'd been going to have a wash when the call came over. But I couldn't have a wash because the pressure couldn't rise that high in all the rooms because the system was only just getting back to normal for civilians. And he was up there, I can see it now, he was up there, there was this talk all about the Battle of the Hood. And as I say, I can see it now, a corporal came close to him, it was always on a big stage. Whisper. And the officer said, "Who's in room such and such?" And as soon as he said it, I knew what it was. I'd like to tap open, you see. This is all he could do. He sat there waiting to get a wash. And so you have to wait till he slowly gets to the top floor and you can have a bowl and have a wash. As soon as he said it, I burst out laughing. And he said, "Well, you better get back over there because you flooded the place." And believe me, it would come right through all the floors down. Now,